good to be here. This may seem strange, but I'm going to start with how much trouble I have with the peace in our liturgy. You know, the peace where we stand and offer the peace. But just hang in there with me for a minute, all right? In so many places now, it's become a free-for-all. Greetings run amok. Running around to greet everyone present. Honestly, most of our places are the size where that works. It'll work in here, probably, and it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, it's an endearing thing to greet everyone, but what I worry about is that in that, we kind of lost the reason for its being in the liturgy in the first place. The idea of the peace, which some of you might even remember when it was put in the prayer book, there was a great deal people don't like it, didn't like it, still don't like it. You know, it required us to greet one another. We don't like that. Is that once we confessed our sins before God and to each other, we're to show an actual sign of peace. That was the idea. The actual acting out of peace. Greeting and saying peace to one another. My worry comes from what I've often seen, that the peace becomes a time to find our friends, those we know, even worse, those we need to talk to before the service ends for some reason. The last parish where I was rector prided itself on a peace that lasted about as long as the sermon, and it seemed to never end. The day I thought it had gone too far was the day I saw two women back in the back of the church during the peace with their cell phones, apparently setting an appointment for the next week. I'd had it at that. I thought to myself, even I don't know enough about this liturgical act to speak to it, but I had to believe it was not intended to be what it had become, the first coffee hour. The original idea was not the very individualistic, if you think about it, one we have, where we must get around the room and touch every person in the room. It was actually meant to be a very intentional greeting to those right around you, both literally being at peace with them, but also symbolically through that act, being at peace with everyone in the room and with the world. So I tried several things. For one season, we would say the peace, but I would suggest that no one move their feet. You stay right where you are. Greet those people you can greet by staying right where you are. And you might learn two things. One, how much more meaningful it is to do this act with just those people. And two, just how far away you're sitting from other people. You'd learn that too. Then in Lent, we did something that caught on, and we did it just about every Lent, the quiet peace. I let people move around, but there were no words. Instead, we moved in silence, and people looked one another in the eye and shook hands, and that was it. So many people like that they often wanted it to go on after Lent, especially though the extroverts hated it, and they couldn't wait to get back to the melee. So I always think about that when we get to this gospel for today from Matthew, where Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, now you have to go out and be disciples. You have to go out and carry this message. You have to go out and be Christ to the world. I think about that line, and if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? That's the easy part. Staying with all those who are like us, who think like us, look like us, live like us. We're to keep saying the peace out there. In that sense, the melee is probably right if we carry it from here to there. Now, all of our readings today are asking us, or in some cases telling us, that as Christians we're called to be different, to look deeper, to live counter to what the world might say is the way to live, the way to love, the way to get along. These are all counter acts. The statement, love your enemies. The exact opposite of what our minds and hearts and usual behavior and much of the world say. Instead, the best we might do is tolerate our enemies. And the most we might do is act to hasten their death. There's a lot of in between in that. And yes, there's a lot in between those two extremes, but loving them? Now, that's just not what we do. Very early on, when I was in spiritual direction, I was going on and on about someone I felt I was constantly doing me wrong, and someone I could not stand to be around, who I had to work with in ministry even. Quite frankly, if I was to be honest, I was upset they were still alive. Although, of course, I did not want to say that. Not out loud. My spiritual director let me go on and on, even goaded me on for a while, and then said rather nonchalantly, "Well, I guess this person should be the first and last person you pray for every day." What? Praying for someone I despise? Yes, as she finally told me, it's hard to continue to despise a person the way you do if they are genuinely in your prayers every day. Now, you might be thinking that genuinely is the loaded word there. And believe me, it is. I had to work like crazy through that to get to a place where it was genuinely so. But after years of doing that, I genuinely did. I cared for the person. And just last month, that person sent me a note. We haven't seen each other in 12 years. They sent me a book I'd loaned them once. And said that though we had our differences in the past and the rough roads in our relationship, they never forgot me in their prayers. And they asked that I not stop praying for them either. Praying, genuinely praying for your enemies can change their status. Actually, it should. Jesus knew this. Another line here, another counteract, give to everyone who begs from you. I once headed out with a group wanting to learn more with a homeless person, what it was to walk the streets and to watch how she lived. Part of the exercise was to put us people with homes in the place of those who lived that every day. And one exercise was actually putting us on a corner with a sign asking for donations. And it was something to see. Most of us pampered people found it hard to do, and that's even with us knowing we were going to leave the corner. We were going to get to go home. But I remember one day when a young woman was on the corner and she was getting a lot of college boys, mostly, who not only did not give to her, but were openly hostile, derisive, mean. And our homeless mentor became very concerned and said, "I'm taking her out early. I'm taking her out right now. They're breaking her spirit. And I don't want that to happen to her. No one should have to see this part of our humanity." I was amazed by that. Later, when we discussed it, this mentor reminded us that there are so many ways to give other than money. And that's when it hit me. I've been reading this, hearing this every time. Give to everyone that begs from you. As if I had to dig in my pocket. Sometimes I need to do that. But he reminded us to simply smile. To say, "I'm sorry, I cannot give you to you today." To have a conversation. To ask how they're doing. To act like they're a human being. Is giving to them. All those things are just as precious and just as valuable as a dollar. I had totally missed that. I had read this line, "Give to everyone who begs from you," for years and thought, what an impossible thing. Everyone? You can't do that. But we can. And we should. Just smile, just converse. Does not have to be dismissive or mean or condescending. Which takes us all the way back to the First Testament, Leviticus. We were lucky today. If you look at the citation, they left some verses out. Go back and read those. They're all about bodily functions and, you know, just stuff we would rather not read in church, because back then they were into that. They thought it was actually to make a place unholy to come to the place like that. The writer was, hung up on the body and bodily functions, as were the people of that time when it came to worship space and worship time. But the writer also gives us a great gift by reminding us that we're called to be holy, just as God is holy. To be in God's image is to be holy. In our readings today, Through the march of time and religion, the point is the same. We're to take from our worship, from our gatherings, from our teaching and formation in our faith, this holiness, and we're to take it out to the world. The world should see that in us as we walk through our days. Our lives should not look like everyone else's. That's what the peace is all about in our liturgy. Being different than the world. Being at peace with each other, with ourselves, with the world. Not for the sake of us in here, but for the sake of everything and everybody out there. Taking that peace to the world. That's what our act in here is really for. Take these readings home. Read them carefully. Hear it this day. If there has ever been a time where we need to be about this, this is the time. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.